Stephanie's Castle.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
Put a little lip balm on.
Oh, sassy.
Thank you.
A quick two buttholes, I guess.
Sure.
And just like that team has, because there was a lot of hullabaloo around Lisa's dad, and they were like, you guys, that was her stepfather in season one, which to me just feels like they were like, what's a quick thing we can do to fix this?
Like vague eye roll, but I get it. It's fine.
And there were actually a couple moments when I was listening to the Writer's Room podcast today where I realized like, oh, I don't, and I'm not actually even judging them for this. Like, I think they even have forgotten stuff that has happened in the original series.
Oh, sure.
And then with that being said, like, a lot of people, 99% of people were totally like, hey, guys, we're just reaching out because you said to reach out and correct you because you don't know everything. We had a couple people who were literally like, I will never listen to this again. I cannot believe that you don't know what you're talking about. You guys, we love doing this. But like,
yeah, we're just having fun.
We're just having fun. Yeah, like, we don't make money. We're just doing this thing. Like, I don't even know who Gwyneth Paltrow is.
Yeah. On one hand, I'm like, okay, it probably best you don't listen if it's that important that we're perfect. Also, I'm worried about you.
Yeah, but I think here's the thing. Like, I just think that everyone that listens is so great. And we welcome your, like, hey, you guys missed this because it's great because we can't catch everything. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot of the Sex and the City episodes for second or third times since I was watching it for the first time because I've been watching and taking notes on this show since 2017. So that's what's been happening. But we love everyone and we still want you. Like, when we're wrong, let us know. But like, have some grace with us.
Yeah,
and
don't be super mean.
We're stupid. Yeah, Mike tells me that enough.
I do not. Now you're leading them back down that path. Do they even like each other?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We love each other. We actually had dinner last week at Uptie, which is a restaurant on the upper.
I don't think you put the picture up. Yeah.
I didn't because I hadn't talked about it yet. I don't have the pictures, actually. You do.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, do I? Oh, okay.
Uptie, Upper East Side. It's where Miranda and Che had lunch.
Yeah. It was fun. It was really good.
And one more thing I noticed when I was watching this, we are officially HBO Max.
Are we? Okay. Mm-hmm. I do like that it's like, welcome home, because it's home box office. I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say?
No, I was going to bring up the father, stepfather thing. But once again, I'm kind of like, nice save. But, you know, we'll allow it.
And you walked by Lisa's house.
I did walk by Lisa's house.
The same night as Uptie.
Not on purpose. I was just sort of walking. I decided to walk to the bus that goes to my apartment. And I was like, oh, like literally just happened to be on that corner. I was like, look, I'm just hanging out at Lisa's. Mm-hmm. So we are here today to discuss They Want to Have Fun. This debuted July 10th, 2025, directed by Anu Valia. She did Sex and the Widow and Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered. I think she maybe took season two off because she was working on the TV series Adults. And then this is written by Lucas Froelich. He wrote Trick or Treat. And we talked about him when we talked about that episode because he has that career path that I think is so awesome, where he was an assistant and then a writer's assistant and now is writing episodes, which I think is awesome. And we open with Carrie knocking on Duncan's door and she hates him.
She hates him because his book is thrilling. And the first thing I noticed is that for someone who sleeps during the day, he is very wide awake, looks ready for the day, looks perfectly put together, and is smoking his pipe.
Yeah, this storyline doesn't make any sense, but we allow it. And how was she supposed to hand him her work in progress? And this is mine. I'm so terrified. And this is a real thing. Like, we kind of touched upon this last week. Like, sharing your work in progress with someone is really, really terrifying.
Yes. And then speaking of terrified, we cut to Lily screaming into the phone because Diego broke up with her. Thank God.
Well, I was going to say, which no one saw coming.
Well, I'm just glad that Mike and I didn't have to call Charlotte personally and say, what are you doing?
Yes. I do. Like, Charlotte runs in with her gloves on.
Yeah, and Richard Burton's like, eye roll. I knew this was
happening. Richard Burton knew it the whole time. And then we continue with bread as penis motif, which is fine. I don't think you'd be allowed to walk around with a loaf of bread just hanging out of the bag that way, but it's a visual.
And is that the bread service at Hot Fellas? Where they I mean, I actually did work at a restaurant in Michigan where we greeted every table with a full loaf of bread like that, but it wasn't quite as long. But are they just like plopping that on every table? Anyway, But they're talking about the breakup with, we have three girls at the cafe and we're talking about the breakup with Diego. And Carrie says breakups are at the teenage years are like the Bronte sisters. And she remembers hers with Kevin Moss.
Yeah, which was only a few years ago. Give it some time. And I'm just going to make a quick note. I don't care. Make these jokes all you want. Maybe it's because I'm older. The whole like... high school, that was just 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, those jokes just aren't funny to me. Just, for me, I'm kind of like, we're older. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't mind the jokes, but that specific joke from Miranda felt impersonal. Like, it almost feels like a joke that, like, I don't know, like, the teenage waiter you have is saying to you to be funny. You know?
Or like, who's your sister here?
Right, or like... <You know? laughs> We're celebrating her birthday. Oh, happy 21st. You know, that kind of stuff.
And her high school love was Kevin Moss. He said he was into her, but it was way too much. And maybe that's Carrie's brand. And then Anthony arrives with not flowers. I don't know what these plants are.
It's a large bouquet of greenery, but he got them from the flower district.
Yes. And he'll barely have time to slap on some bronzer before she arrives.
And we find out quickly that she is Giuseppe's mom, who is a therapist, who is here from Rome. And we also find out she's staying at the Carlisle Hotel, which, fun fact, that's where Elaine Stritch lived.
Yeah, and it's pretty fancy. I've walked outside of it. I don't think that I'd be allowed in.
You would. I actually would like to go.
You keep saying that. You think that Tiffany's in the Carlisle, and I feel like they're going to look at me and be like, no, sir, you do not belong here.
No, you'd have to put on your little suit, but you and I could go to Bemelman's. I would actually really like to go to Bemelman's bar and see some jazz.
Jazz.
Carrie likes the jazz.
And we have negative talk of therapy. And I will say, is it a throwaway line where he says my future mother-in-law?
I don't know. I
just think it's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's kind of a weird thing. I think it's hard to say, like...
I'm just saying, like, is he that serious? Do we think he's that serious?
Oh, I
or do
think
we
they're
think
that
he's
serious.
Just like,
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I think they're that serious for sure. And Charlotte doesn't know how she's going to even deal with Lily with everything else on her plate. And this begins a series of, I feel like, over-hinting at things that are happening.
Absolutely. And we do it for the drama of the TV series.
Right.
But there is part of me that's like, in the moment when Miranda says, what's on your plate? It could be easy just to be like, oh, just between work and the kids and taking care of... Like, you can explain these things
away. Yeah, like, there's a lot of drama at the gallery. Done and done.
Right, exactly. We're done. And I do like Carrie's distraction of like, oh, look at my new ring, which apparently was just Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I couldn't really hear what she was saying. Maybe because I was focused on Patti LuPone entering.
So here we go. The mother arrives. And I'm not going to say that I fully understand what she's saying, but I don't think they gave her super complicated Italian.
No.
She's like, oh, dolce vita.
Yeah. And this is just something I noticed. And I know it's been discussed before. I believe that is an Hermes bag. And part of me is wondering, and I know they did use a fake Hermes bag once for Carrie. But are these bags that people have or that are on loan or are they buying them? Because it didn't really... I mean, I noticed it, so I guess that's cool. But they could have used a different bag and saved a lot of money. I don't know.
It's true. I imagine they're on loan. I'd be curious to know the answer to that for real. But I imagine that at this point, this show is such a big deal that every designer is like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And Giuseppe wants his mom to meet his friends, which is the girls. And ladies call me Gia. And Charlotte says that her English is perfect.
Yeah, which I thought was strange because we find out it's probably just so Gia can let her know that she actually was born in Buffalo and moved to Italy at 19.
Yes.
But that's just a strange thing to say to someone.
Oh, your English is so good.
Yeah, like that's like the first thing you say to someone. It just felt really strange. And I get that they were saying it so we could have that line. But
right.
I don't know. I feel like give that to Anthony even to say, like someone else,
right.
You know?
And maybe we've already done this, but have we discussed the fact that this storefront was on 88th and Madison? We may have said that before.
Yeah, okay. And it was up for a long time.
Right.
Like, and I talked about this before that like it was a buzz in the Upper East Side Facebook group because they were like, what does this bakery open up?
And they would occasionally actually give people bread, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this tall, hot fella guy was walking by. They also did that in Moonstruck, remember? Sorry to cut you off.
Yes. Yeah.
Which that house is being sold, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. The Moonstruck house. Yeah. And this tall, hot guy is walking by and she's like, oh, that must be Anthony.
Well, I wrote, she thinks this must be Anthony because he's hot, even though his name tag says Nick.
Well, and I don't know. I think wouldn't you have shown your mom pictures of you with your partner or told her anything about him?
Something like that. It's fine because it sets up the joke that, of course, then Anthony arrives being loud and swearing.
Yeah, and behind the flowers and doesn't know Gia is there. And then she size shames him. Not like,
yep.
Yeah, just like makes fun of him for being short and tells him to call her by her full government name while everyone else can just call her Gia.
And it took me a minute because her full name, as she says it, is Dottoressa Gianna Amato. So when on the podcast, when they were saying Gianna, I'm like, no, there's something else in there. This is dumb, but I'm assuming that Dottoressa is just doctor.
AI overview. Dottoressa is an Italian term meaning female doctor.
Yes.
It is the feminine form of dottor, also meaning doctor, and is used to address or refer to a woman who holds a doctoral degree.
I used context clues.
I used AI.
And then I actually like, listen, I understand that we have an impasse here, and it's going to become stranger as the episode goes along, but I actually feel like Anthony, while maybe shouldn't have approached, you know, throwing the F word around, he's doing a pretty good job by immediately saying, I'm afraid I made a very bad first impression, which I don't know. I feel like that's big of him to like immediately just say like, oh, I've messed up to her face.
There's a couple moments that he has here where I
agree that I thought he behaved much better than I think he's being given credit for.
Which brings me to a point that I've read about quite a bit where people are saying like, in last week's episode, for example, when Carrie was fine with Aiden cheating and people are saying, oh, I guess Carrie isn't Carrie anymore. Like, we have to give people permission to grow and change and like let go of things. Like even,
yes.
You know, especially as people get older, sometimes they just don't care as much about certain
right.
things.
I eat tomatoes now. You know what I mean? Like we all grow.
Did that not happen before?
Oh, no. I used to. If a tomato was near my plate, I would refuse to.
Oh, weirdo. And then Gia discovers a hickey.
Is it a hickey? Because I couldn't tell if it was a hickey or if it was bronzer.
If it was a hickey or he burned himself with his curling iron.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know. I will accept your version of it.
Oh, I forgot about the bronzer.
But that's why
line.
I was confused. Because honestly, hickey makes more sense. Let's put a poll out there. Like, who thinks it was a hickey?
No, I think it's bronzer because he makes the comment earlier about bronzer. And then she says, is that makeup on your neck?
And he just went like... And that was all the bronzer he put on.
Yeah.
So we have Carrie and Miranda walking. By any chance, do you know what street they're on?
20-something.
Oh, really?
Because if you... I tried
No, to, I tried. And then I was like, I'm hoping that Elise knows this.
If you see them walking, there's a, like, dangly awning. And mm-hmm. on it, it says, like, 20-something street.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking at, because it looks like they're next to the armory, but it's not the armory. Anyways, we don't have to talk about it long. I was like, this is the thing I get lost forever, but I'm just going to ask Elise if she knows. And Carrie thinks they should throw a party for Charlotte's birthday next week. And Miranda offers her new place, but Carrie thinks it should be bigger. And she has all that space and Miranda is working. Just let me plan it. And I guess this is just like escalating to like, it's not her 60th, but Carrie feels like she really needs some fun right now.
Yeah.
And I think there should be a way to say to your friend, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, everything's fine. Stop asking questions. But that's, of course, we're going to escalate here to get to.
Yeah. Carrie is bad at lying. She is purposely egging Miranda on. And now Carrie has decided that Richard Burton is dying of incurable cancer. And she's also, for the record, reading Monkey Grip by Helen Garner.
Oh, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote Miranda cycles through everyone, so eventually Carrie has to give Richard Burton cancer.
Which I'm like, oh boy, this is going to cause.
And now we have Seema at Lattes and Lashes because it's two blocks from her place. And I want this to not be awful. I want there to be a world in which like your local place where people aren't quite as refined is fine. But that's not. Where's the comedy in that?
Right. And also Seema lives in a penthouse on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
And the reason she's there is just for convenience. She doesn't say anything about price.
Right.
So I am sure she could have found a lot of places she could have gone to.
One would think. And she's cleared 2 hours, but he has three people waiting.
I love this performance.
Well, sure. This is Tomas Matos. He's kind of probably best known because he was one of the main friends on the film Fire Island, if you saw that.
Okay, I did not. Did you?
I did. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And he's one of the main, not one of the main, but one of like the friends in their group. And it's a great performance. And I get that it's funny. And I, once again, want to just let the comedy happen. There's just part of it's like, I want this to not be terrible. And no, even his inability to like to put not the put the on. iPads, that's not where those go. No. I don't even do that. And I know that that's not where those go.
No, and I wanted it too. Like, I thought this was going to a place where Seema got like the best eyelashes of her life. And like,
yeah, that's what I wanted.
Then she was also going to like get a blowout there. Like, this was going to be her new place.
Her new
I love
place.
When he says, why not take an Uber?
And then when it's on her face, and you're just like, pop, 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 pop. He's popping his gum so fast. And now we're at Miranda's? I think we're at Miranda's. We don't know the place very well.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we are, but I'm she invites either. Joy to Charlotte's party. And, of course, tells Joy, lover of all dogs, that Richard Burton has cancer.
And Joy has the line, if something happened to my dogs, I don't think I could go on. And I don't want to in any way belittle the loss of a pet. I have been through it. It is terrible. By having a pet, you have agreed that that pet is going to die before you do. Mm-hmm. Like, unless you get a turtle or a parrot, adopting a pet means you are at some point going to have to mourn the loss of that. So you do have to figure out how to go on.
Right. And like, you know, my mom used to always say that Glenn, the dog, was going to outlive her. And we lost Glenn last year. He was 18. And, you know, my mom has said multiple times, like, I'm not getting another pet. Like, I just can't go through that again. You know.
And I, once again, I'm not saying any of this. Glenn was a wonderful, wonderful dog. Tim and Todd were wonderful, wonderful dogs. Like, I have experienced the loss of pets before. It is terrible. But just the line, I don't think I could go on, makes me worry for Joy.
Right. And also, our dogs' names are Tim, Todd, and Glenn. They sound like they should be getting gimlets at the townhouse talking about...
Or like starting a law firm or something.
No, they're gay.
It's a gay law firm.
Oh, glaw firm.
Glaw firm. And what is the poor pup's name? And then we get to Richard Burton.
And now Anthony is calling Carrie on the bread phone.
She hates me, right? So nasty.
And also something that I think is interesting is Anthony is the only person that calls Charlotte Char and still does call her Char.
That's funny. I hadn't even thought about that. I do really like the introduction of the goose, goose, duck nasty. Like, that's actually really funny to me.
Hmm.
The idea of, like, nice to you, nice to them, nasty to me. Like, that's funny. I enjoyed that.
It's a version of, like, F you, you're cool, F you.
Yeah. And Carrie's meeting Gia for lunch and put in a good word for me, which I don't feel like is a lot to ask. I do feel like Carrie, as a friend, can find a way to sneak in like something nice about Anthony. And she's from Buffalo, home of the chicken wing.
Yeah, like what's with the fancy airs and the accent? And I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know this, but if you move to a different place at 19, do you acquire the accent?
I think you maybe do. I have a friend who moved to England in her like 20s, and she definitely talks like this and has a little bit of an act. Like, every once in a while, I'm like, girl, you're from Bakersfield.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it is, because sometimes when I go back to Michigan, I'll say words and they're like, you say that differently because I haven't been around the Midwest.
Oh, and also, is this how you would hang up that phone? I get that it's probably not a real phone in any way, shape, or form, but he just sets it down on the counter. Like, there's no, like, thing that it goes in, which maybe they don't anymore.
Yeah, it should go into, like, a paper sleeve. Maybe there's just a button on the bread phone.
There probably is, but I did think it was kind of funny. And we have lunch with Carrie, who's talking what she writes about. Where are they here?
425, which is at 425 Park Avenue at East 56th Street.
Definitely never been.
And so something interesting that when Carrie's talking about this, she says that she writes about love and men and women. So she always wants to hear people's story. And that doesn't sound very LGBTQ plus IA inclusive.
Does not at all. Also, I do get that it was a long time ago, but it is that funny idea that if Gia were to look up Carrie's writing, I'm assuming Carrie hopes that she looks up something she wrote recently. Because she didn't always write about, like, love and romance. At one point, it was a little bit more risque than that.
Well, I don't think Patti LuPone should be judging anyone's writing in the press these days.
Well, and here's where we get to it. That we find out that Gia was 21 and he was almost 50, which says she has absolutely no self-awareness.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a plot point eventually. I'm certain of it. But in this moment, I'm like, oh, okay. You're not really thinking about the reality of the situation.
Or she is, and that's why it bothers her, because with Alessandro, sure, we find out it wasn't all magic. His teenage children didn't like her, and so she tried to figure out why, and that's why she became a therapist. And, you know, she talks to Carrie about Carrie with the kids and just gives her the advice of don't waste years trying to be what you think they'll accept, which I think is just good advice for anyone.
It's good advice for anyone. And you know what? It's exactly what Anthony's going to do, which I'm assuming once again, I'm assuming that's where the story is going. But I am kind of like, girl.
And it's also very interesting to me that Carrie is very tan. I know we're in the summer, but I just noticed that she has a nice tan.
I'm sure she has bronzer on.
Yeah.
And it's always complicated when a new love enters an established dynamic. Speaking of, and this is Carrie's opportunity to talk about Anthony and say nice things.
She gives a very, very glowing review.
Yes. And then Gia's thing of maybe I have him wrong, but she'd rather not say.
Which is the first time also Patti LuPone has ever said, I'd rather not say.
Very, very true. And I wrote, now we're somewhere fancy where I've definitely never shopped. And we'll eventually find out that it's Bergdorf's.
Yeah, I immediately knew we were at Bergdorf Goodman, not because I'm there often. I just recognized the bag.
Another place I'd be asked to leave.
What? You? One day we're going to do some exposure therapy where we're just going to take Mike Jensen into various high-end places.
And I'm just like holding myself and crying.
And I'm going to hire people to ask you to leave. So Charlotte is at Bergdorf Goodman and then she sees Harry and Harry just starts running away. And then he says, oh, no, I never wanted you two to meet. And I get what they're trying to do.
Sure,
but it didn't work because obviously Harry's never going to cheat on Charlotte.
Right. I agree. But in a lot of like, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And do you want to tell her or should I? And this is Bonnie, his personal shopper.
Yeah, and she's responsible for all of Charlotte's gifts. And then we find out that Harry actually also told Bonnie about the big C.
Now, when Bonnie says, I'm so glad you're wearing that blouse, I wasn't sure if it was too bold a color for you. Is that shade at all, or do we just think that she's just being
I don't think she means too bold of color for Charlotte's complexion. I think she means for Charlotte's taste.
But that's what I mean. So I wasn't sure if
no,
it was
No, I don't think
all.
It's shade because it would be like, oh, I'm so glad you like the thing that I thought you may like but was a risk.
Okay, sure. And, you know, the idea that Bonnie isn't part of their lives. And we have some talk of another Van Cleef and Arpels lucky animal clip. I did look these up. They are very a thing that I could see Harry buying for Charlotte.
And also he says, like, would you really want another one of those as if it was like, you know, a bad gift. Those are $7,400 minimum.
Yeah, they're pretty expensive and they're cute. But I could, once again, I could see it being a thing of like, I guess I'll get another of these animal clips.
Yeah.
And back at Carrie's, Seema's at the front door and takes off her sunglasses.
And at first I thought that it was going to be Duncan because Carrie's running, which I think is who she expected it to be.
But at her front door, and this is where I was confused, because it's like she knows who it's going to be. Yeah, it was a weird moment, but
yeah,
I will accept your premise.
I immediately was like, oh, there we go. Duncan the Night Owl, ready for the day. Yeah. But it wasn't Duncan. It was Asima, and we find out that her eyelashes started to molt off at the Union Square Cafe.
So can I go on a little bit of a quick tangent?
Whatever
here?
You want, Mike.
Because I did not know that Union Square Cafe still existed. I thought it closed a decade ago, and
it did.
It did, yeah. So I have a bit of a thing about this because it originally opened in 1985. This was like Danny Meyer's, I think, his first thing, and like he went on to be a big restaurateur, and it was listed as Zagat's number one New York restaurant 9 times, which I think is still a record holder. And in 2015, so a decade ago, there was a huge rent hike and it moved to Park and 19th, where City Crab had just finished its lease. So I think it's interesting that much like how the New York Times is no longer in Times Square, and not that, you know, this is the opposite in the naming, but that Union Square Cafe is not in Union Square anymore. So I walked this on Friday when I was doing my notes. I left for work early to get off the train and kind of walk around and see where everything is. So it officially reopened at 19th and Park in December 2016, Union Square Hospitality Group, which was Danny Meyer's group, it opened Gramercy Tavern, which was also Zagat's number one New York restaurant several times. 11 Madison Park was one of their restaurants. Now, is that where Carrie and Big have their lunch where Big says that he's engaged?
Yes, and LaShawn's is the hostess.
Correct. They opened Blue Smoke, one maybe more familiar with his other restaurant chain, Shake Shack. Anyways, I am sort of fascinated with that whole movement because between that and like the Be Our Guest, I've often said that I would love there to be a documentary about the rise and fall of Be Our Guest, because these restaurant chains were so, when I moved to New York, they were still so huge and still expanding. And there was lots of talk about how, because one of the Be Our Guests, was it Blue Fin that was in Union Square? Or Blue Water?
Blue Water Grill.
Okay, because they were right next to each other. And in fact, I got them confused for Coffee Shop, which was right on the other corner, which is now a Chase Bank. But like, they were so, I cannot overstate how huge these restaurants were. And they came in to the Union Square area when that was not a nice area. Like, people were not hanging out in that park. And they came in and revitalized that area. And then all lost their leases because then the neighborhood was nice and they all got kicked out for new establishments. Anyway, we can get back into it, but I'm glad that Union Square Cafe still exists.
Yes. And now they make their way to the kitchen where we find Adam, and he and Seema are flirting, and Seema got a backdoor invite to Charlotte's party, which seems kind of sexy.
And I get that all of this is supposed to seem kind of sexy, and it does. Part of me is just like, I don't know. Seema's like, I don't do dirt. I'm like, haven't we already had this exact conversation already?
Yeah, Adam is touching her eyelash and asks her to make a wish. And because what I find interesting about Seema is she is terrified of like saccharine sweet talk.
Sure.
Which I'm the same way. You know, if someone starts like flirting or like when Mark says like sweet things to me, it's so hard for me to just take it. It's like a defense mechanism. And so she responds and says, I wish Carrie's yard was finished.
Right. Yeah. What are we celebrating? Clearly not the fact that Carrie's yard is finished. And I will say that, you know, Carrie inviting her, because is no one more fun than Seema? Would we say that Seema's the most fun?
I don't think Seema's really that fun.
I don't think so either.
But that's okay.
So, I don't know.
And Adam wears headbands like Mike Jensen does sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I see a guy like that wearing headbands, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I was trying to look like. It didn't work out for me.
You looked really nice in a headband.
Oh, thanks. And he notices her eye, and she says it's because she just started taking cabs, which are beyond unsexy and gay for whatever this is. And yeah, we have the whole make a wish and blow, and are you going to blow? Don't make me call HR, which is funny. And when he leaves, I mean, I guess the point is when he leaves, Carrie has a whole like, what was that? It didn't feel like nothing.
Yeah, and I read something online. It might have been Entertainment Weekly or Vulture or somewhere where they were talking about this episode, and they were like, and it's not awkward for this to be happening in front of Carrie, because we do remember that Miranda got finger banged in her kitchen.
Yeah. This is nothing for Carrie.
Yeah.
And we're sort of instructing the setup of the party now, and a very loud noise. And did someone order fun? And it's like a kazoo that we never see. I'm assuming that it was put in post.
So here's the thing, too. Like, I just said that we should let these characters evolve and grow. But I don't know who this Miranda is.
I don't either. It is so confusing to me. And on one hand, I'm like, good for you, Cynthia Nixon, for giving in and just making it. But I'm like, who is this?
Yeah, what, like, I'm happening? Uncomfortable multiple times with Party Miranda.
So uncomfortable.
Or as they call
so
her, the Party Doula.
But, the Party Doula.
But yeah, like, this just starts, we'll get to a part where I was like, I had to like close my eyes.
That probably involves her saying like, you know what I mean, or something.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
that.
I hate it. Stop.
It's terrible.
So yeah, Miranda has a lot of pink balloons, and Brady is rolling in a karaoke machine, and it just he sounded uncomfortable saying the line, where should I put the karaoke machine at Carrie? Like, they should have just said, hey, where should I put the karaoke machine? Because the right. Aunt Carrie, it just sounds weird. And then also, let's take note of the fact that not only is Carrie in like a casual onesie, she's in a flat shoe. She has no nice. Problem being in this flat shoe.
Gotcha.
Just,
I like it. Good catch. And like, you know, where do you want the, yeah, is not here an option? We found out that she didn't rent it. She bought it because it was cheaper, and nothing says all out like balloons and karaoke. And I wrote so the line is, nothing says all out like balloons and karaoke, exclamation mark. And I wrote, the exclamation mark is in the closed caption, and it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And the balloons have confetti in them.
And then Carrie goes to kind of warn Duncan of what's happening. Once again, Duncan, wide awake during the day.
Wide awake.
Has yep. not once are we waking him up. And she's apologizing him for the night ahead. And he lets her know her pages are brilliant. And this is something that's like kind of selfish, Carrie, that happens. She's talking about how there's going to be a party and it's going to be loud. And she said she would have gotten him a hotel room, which she thought about, but instead she's just going to ask him to come to the party.
Yeah. How is that selfish to you?
Because, like, She should have. I would have approached it and been like, hey, we're going to have a party upstairs. I know that it's going to be extremely awful for you. I'm willing to pay for you to get a hotel. I would love for you to come. We would love to have you there. But if this is just too much, I don't want to like F up your sleep schedule for the week. I'm more than happy to get you a hotel room.
I guess more accurately, I'd be like, I don't want to mess up your sleep schedule, which you don't seem to have. Mm-hmm. The party will be over by 1 a.m. and then you can write until dawn. I don't know. Once again, the whole sleep schedule thing doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know. I get what you're saying. And this is where we find out that he loves karaoke, which is what they call a plot twist.
Right. Which we'll also get to later.
But. Yeah. And upstairs, the caterer's here and Miranda goes to tidy up, which is mostly so that she can see Carrie's chapter.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Charlotte telling Lily she doesn't have to go to the party, which is kind of reminiscent of the camping episode where she's like, you guys have to go. It's like these kids don't want to do anything, but they're teenagers. I get it.
Right.
But yeah. Rock is like, no, we are going. Mom is going through something. I saw her crying in the pantry. And this isn't going to be like your dumb, immersive Little Mermaid birthday party.
Yeah, ironic Little Mermaid themed 17th at the South Street Seaport.
Yes.
And then we just end with her saying, get out of the effing bed, Ariel.
Yeah.
Which I like Rock in this moment. Good for you.
I like Rock a lot. And then we're at the party now.
Now, do we have a rival crowd noise? Or is this a song playing? It's like, anyone in the audience have a birthday?
So here's the thing. This whole, for me, and I could be wrong, let me know nicely, but I felt like this whole series of cuts and edits was a new style for the Sex and the City universe. Because, yes, there was that intro of like, all right, everybody. All right. And like, that's not what's happening. So it's actually just a song that they're playing, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And Miranda's taking a dozen pictures of Charlotte and Richard Burton because he's dying.
Right. Really focusing on Richie Burton.
Richie Birdie.
And Lily's just being bratty in a rain boot, like laying over there.
And I guess that's where the sofas are going to stay. When we first saw these sofas alongside the fireplace, I thought, well, they're just pushed against the wall for now. It feels like a weird place to put those sofas.
Well,
just like next to the fireplace.
Definitely be there for now because it's a party, too. So they're pushing them off to the side.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Miranda isn't ready for the whole family because RB wasn't looking at the camera. And Joy is here and your swing is hefty. And this is Miranda's friend and they kiss because they're more than just friends. And
sisters, we're close. That's a Rent reference. Yeah.
It is.
And Joy is obsessed with Richard Burton and Harry's just like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Harry's feeling a little bit rejected, I guess. And you have to spend every minute you have left with him. And then Lisa arrives and Henry's there because Rock invited him.
Henry and Rock are friends. I like that storyline.
And Harry is finally happy to be a person at the party.
But not for long because we're going to cut to Henry, who is really loves Les Mis and karaoke.
Yes.
And he is singing I Dreamed a Dream, which, fun fact, Patty sang as Fantine in the London production of Les Miserables.
And I do love the gallery girls and Brady in the background. And I wrote, I'm excited for worlds to collide, which then doesn't really happen.
What do you mean?
I thought the gallery girls would like talk with Patti LuPone or all these groups would come together and they don't really. Everyone kind of stays in their separate storylines.
Right. And wasn't there like a Brady Lily thing for a minute?
Yeah. And they don't talk at all. And I'm like, this could be time for a rebound.
Yeah. And no one else wants to sing karaoke, which I'm surprised that Herbert didn't get up there, but Herbert didn't want to get in there. So Henry's up again with Hopelessly Devoted to You. And honestly, great choices so far, Henry.
Yeah. And I will say, we didn't really talk about Alexander Bello all that much. In the Writer's Room podcast, they mentioned him being in MJ the Musical. I don't see that anywhere in his bio, but I'm going to assume that they're not lying. He was in 3 Broadway shows that I saw him in. He was in All My Sons, Rose Tattoo, and the revival of Carolina Change. And I saw him in all 3 of those. And I do like Brady saying he's either 14 or 90. And Rock lets us know this was in last year's school play. And Lily's into it because it's a sad song. And this is still about Dream to Dream.
Bitsy showed up. And thank God she was invited.
Yeah, she's happy for the invite because her trainer is moving back to Portugal, which we can all relate to.
Yeah, I didn't know why we needed to know that.
I don't know either. And maybe it's a setup that she's desperate for a hot guy because we're going to kind of get to that later. And Carrie walks through the crowd to the front door and Gia, Anthony, and Giuseppe are there. And Anthony motions Charlotte over because we brought Maleficent with us. And he says he's 49 and then 53 and then 58 final offer, which made me wonder, Mario Cantone was like 63 or 64 when they filmed this.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that. Good for you, Mario. He's looking pretty good.
How old is he supposed to be? How old are they all supposed to be?
I assume that, well, it's funny because they say that Charlotte's not 60 yet. This isn't her 60th. So they're apparently all in their 50s. And then I guess Anthony's just the oldest of them.
Okay.
Good questions, though, Elise. Very good questions. Because if, though in the writer's room, they have no memory of Charlotte ever having a birthday before this, if we do think that she was celebrating her 34th birthday in season 5, which was what, 2002?
AI overview. In and just like that, the main characters are roughly the same age as the characters in The Golden Girls. Specifically, Carrie Bradshaw's 55, while Miranda and Charlotte are both 54. Either way, Bitsy starts being a perv.
Yeah, so handsome. When God closes a door, he opens a dreamy window.
And
that was more Samantha, I think.
And really quick, we cut to some Barry Manilow. Nope, just Henry onto Copacabana, which we sang this song in a show choir camp one year.
And Lisa says they're going to have to send out apology notes, which I think is funny.
I don't know. Let Henry just, if no one else is up there, let Henry just live.
Well, and I wrote, so Miranda's kind of dancing along, and I do love there's a shot where, like, Rock is just full up laughing. I don't know what they're laughing at. They're laughing at something happening across the way, but it's just a fun, candid moment. And then I wrote, I'm kind of mixed, because I don't like it a lot, but don't make him feel bad.
It's a theater kid. Like, they don't really...
Impervious.
Yeah, like, we didn't... Like, when we were theater kids, we were just performing, and it wasn't for you. It was for us.
Right. And we hear Lisa telling Henry to come have some cake, which won't make a lot of sense later on. But and then Girls Just Want to Have Fun starts up. And where are my girls at?
Oh, I hated this. I hate all of this.
Whole sequence is so painful.
It feels very I Am Woman from the movie.
One. I can't believe. I mean, I guess you can't bring it up because that would be a weird reference. But that's all that I could think of, except for way more awkward.
Lily doesn't want to have fun. Miranda is scaring me with this Girls Just Want to Have Fun intro. Like, it looks like she might be possessed. I don't know if she took drugs with Joy. I just don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's so much. And no one wants to sing now, so let's do gifts. Girls just want open gifts, am I right?
I just wrote, this Miranda makes me feel weird.
And then I do love this little aside of Leela didn't bring a gift and Kai doesn't bring gifts for anyone who owns in New York, which I think is a fair policy. And Anastasia bought a candle just in case. And we can't put three names on a $40 regifted candle. And Leela's, or can we, is really good to me. I enjoy that.
And then the doorbell rings, but Seema doesn't wait for anyone to answer it. She just marches in with her eye patch.
And I will say that I looked it up, and they do say this in the writer's room, that it is true that Louis Vuitton does not make an eye patch. They make sleeping masks.
And they had to go through a lot of stuff with legal in order to have this logo. And since it was made from an actual fanny pack, it ended up being okay. And before I realized she had an infection, I was thinking that having the lashes redone would be easier, but then we couldn't have the Pirates of Park Avenue joke. Oh, never mind. It was an infection.
But it does go really quickly from, I got this due to that lowbrow eyebrow technician, to Adam approaching with pirate jokes and her quickly blaming it on his dirty fingers.
Yeah, she loves to blame someone or something else.
And then Carrie asking about getting the cake out so it's room temp and more champagne. And now Duncan is here and will need something stronger.
Yeah, and he already wants to smoke, but he is supposed to love karaoke. So get on that machine, Duncan.
Right. And I said no gifts, and Carrie is giftless, and Carrie has no idea what's happening. It's a strange birthday party, baby shower mashup. Yeah, so they're going to go for a smoke in the terrace, not just to jump off. And Bitsy bought her a Fendi purse, and Leela's were all fucked. It made me laugh out loud. It was very good. Bonnie Milligan is killing it in this episode. Like, I really enjoyed all of her stuff here.
Yeah, I loved it too. And it just was a gentle reminder to me that these people have a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure. And now Bitsy talking about a 80-year-old with a 50-year-old face. I thought she was talking about herself.
Oh, I don't know.
It could not be, but it was an interesting thing about this woman who has to wear a turtleneck in the pool. But the face, gorgeous.
And then we get to Gia grilling Anthony about selling sex and bread. And she mentions that he's nervous. And this is another really beautiful, open Anthony moment where he says, of course I'm nervous. I want you to like me.
Yeah. I was like, good for you, Anthony. Like, way to just be yourself. Way to do exactly what Gia says one should do.
Mm-hmm.
And now back on the terrace, it transported him to New York. And then, but he was in New York, and it's a modern sensibility, but anchored in this completely grounded tableau.
And just sitting outside at a party, talking to someone isolated is a very romantic thing. I know later they talk about how like sitting on the stairs is a very romantic thing, but I think this is more romantic.
And now we're having Charlotte opening Joy's present, and I'm half expecting it to be a dog coffin.
But it's not. It's just dog weed for terminally ill dogs. And Miranda's like, no, you weren't supposed to do that. Or no. So she grabs the gift, and Charlotte's, thank God it's Charlotte, because she's just like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And then yeah. Bonnie Milligan says, I will give you the gift of song.
And I'm like, finally, Bonnie's been here long enough. Let her sing. And we get some River Deep Mountain High and Miranda going to Harry. And when the unthinkable happens, Charlotte will be devastated, but will be there for her, which, of course, is, you know, to set up what's about to happen. I do like Bonnie's moment of like, and that was not a regift.
And Harry immediately, of course, is like, Charlotte, did you tell Miranda?
And we have really quick cuts happening, because then we have Bitsy up and it's a duet. So she grabs Giuseppe and they end up singing Shallow. And suddenly Duncan's no longer a fan of karaoke. And we catch Miranda catching what's happening.
And also, they brought this up on the podcast, and I was thinking the same thing. Bitsy's ex-husband was a gay man.
Yes.
So maybe she's just looking. Yeah. She's just looking for another one. And now Duncan and Carrie are canoodling, and Miranda is like, ooh la la. We see that.
Yeah. And Charlotte pulls Carrie aside to ask if she told Miranda. And we get there very quickly. This could have been drawn out much longer, but we get to Carrie confessing what happened. And I love that that's almost worse and Carrie's reaction to it. I've always said this. Sarah Jessica Parker is a great actress. She's an even better reactress. Like, I love just her moments of like reacting to what's being said.
I was wondering where Shu was during this party.
In her room.
Okay.
And Giuseppe and Bitsy are singing, and Gia thinks it's so tragic when someone older lusts after someone younger. So apparently she finds her ex-husband or husband to be tragic.
Yeah, I said, that's your story. And Bitsy just needs another gay husband, and maybe Bitsy and Gia can have a relationship.
And I like when Gia says, like, what do you think about that? And his comeback of like, you don't want to know what I'm thinking, Gia. Good for you. Good for you. I'm over her.
Good for you.
Yeah. And this is where Charlotte pulls Harry aside and explains. And I like Harry's agreement that Burton having cancer would almost be worse for her.
And then he pulls all the girls into the kitchen and explains everything to them. And I really love, he just says the nicest things about Charlotte. Like, he doesn't say like, and Charlotte wasn't supposed to tell anyone what she did. He brings up the fact that this must have been so terrible. And he apologizes for not letting her, which once again, it's like Team Harry, always and forever.
Yeah. And I like it. I like that we get there quickly. There's not a lot of drama around it. It's just like, now you can talk about it. It's fine. And now we have Adam and Seema on the stairs with talks of taxi cabs not being sexy and city buses are a hell no. A little bit of pedicab talk, which pedicabs are terrible. Don't ever get in them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, note to our listeners from not New York City. If you visit here, never take a pedicab. They are like $10 a minute.
Per person.
Per person. And they're going to be they're the little bikes that are carrying like the carriage blasting New York State of Mind through Times Square.
With like the neon lights. And it's like, oh, this is fun. No, don't do it. Unless you want to just blow $100 on nothing. Don't do it. And we, I don't know, is it a snort from Seema? I just think she has a strange laugh.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a snort. And we've never seen her do that. But we quickly find out there's no yoga lady. He ended things when he smelled Seema's perfume the first time. And this makes her uncomfortable. So she goes to grab fresh drinks. And we notice Adam kind of look at his drink like, my drink is full.
That he has a full drink. And now here's the thing. If someone told me I left my significant other the moment I smelled you, I would also be uncomfortable, but maybe for different reasons.
Are you going to make me into sausage?
We have Giuseppe downing a drink and saying they should go because his mom has an early flight, but she wants to stay and not at the party, but in New York for another week because she loves her boy.
Hmm.
And this party had too much singing for her taste, which I guess is a Patty joke.
Yeah, and Seema wants to leave because he's available, but not yet because Adam is going to sing Betty Davis Eye.
And you know what I meant to look up? Because she mentions that she's doing an Irish goodbye. The first time that I ever heard that term, I believe was in Tina Fey's Bossy Pants book. And I feel like she talks about someone throwing their clothes down the stairs and going to bed, which will henceforth be known as an Irish goodbye. That wasn't the first time that term was used. Irish this is goodbye an old been, term.
Yeah. Okay. And usually it just means that you're leaving without saying goodbye to anyone.
Right.
AI overview. An Irish goodbye, also known as a French exit or Polish exit, is the act of leaving a social gathering without saying goodbye to anyone. Hmm.
First coined by Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And yeah, I sort of hate this, but I get the charm. And I will say there's something about a happy Seema, and maybe this goes back to Seema laughing. It's really fun to see. Like, it's really, I almost didn't know how much I wanted to see a happy Seema until we saw a happy Seema. And then we're in the cab and they're making out and maybe a taxi can be sexy. And that's sort of everything wrapped up until we get to our final scene. And we're back in Carrie's kitchen, and it was a total joy to meet Joy, and now I want cake.
And where's Steve? Everyone else was there. Where's Steve?
That's not a bad question. I do sort of wonder. And
well, really quickly, something that there was some growth in a character is that Miranda is eating the cake. She's not throwing it away. She's not eating it out of the garbage can. She is just sitting there in peace, eating the cake.
I think people enjoyed the karaoke, if that's the story you want to tell yourself, and you know, now you have your own karaoke machine. Charlotte had a good time.
And you and Duncan seem to be having fun as well. Kind of caught a little vibe there. Saw you across the room laughing and sipping his drink.
Yes, I laughed and I sipped a drink. What are you saying?
And Carrie immediately goes into far too defensive mode. And I was taken aback by this. And I guess that was the point. They talk about in the writer's room when you say something and then suddenly there's a shift in the mood that you did not see coming, which is definitely what happens here.
Wait, are you upset? I don't understand what's happening right now. We were just doing a fun little party debrief.
Miranda, I'm in a relationship.
Well, of course you are.
Yeah, and Miranda comments about Duncan and Carrie is not having this. And I think it's because Carrie does have feelings for Duncan. And I think she is mad about Kathy. I think she's had time to like sit with all of that. And now she's angry. And Miranda says, you're working very hard with Aiden. And Carrie just begins getting very defensive. And we quickly find out Miranda read the pages of Carrie's book. The woman wondered what she had gotten herself into. Okay, quick thing I have about this, though, is I know that's the first part of her book, but how in a glance would Miranda have known that line was about, what that line was about, and that that woman was Carrie?
What I think is interesting about this, first of all, there's a line earlier when Miranda says we're just having a fun little party debrief, that the line is, Carrie says, I don't have fun.
I was just saying it was nice to see you having fun.
I don't have fun.
And in closed caption, the line is, I don't have fun, ? And I just think it's an interesting, the way that SJP says it doesn't sound like a question. Mm. I just think it's interesting and it feels very loaded. And of course, a lot of this has to do with Miranda already saying that her thing with Joy feels effortless. And the idea that, of course, it's effortless, it just started. Now, here's a point that I see for Miranda. Is Miranda saw this thing where the first line is, the woman wondered what she'd gotten herself into. At no point in the past has Carrie not written about herself. It's never been fiction. Mm. It's always been, here's what's happening in my life. So I can imagine Miranda seeing that and thinking, oh, this is Carrie's new column. She's writing about herself with Aiden, and she's wondering what she got herself into.
Okay, and she hasn't actually read any of the rest of the book.
Truly the third time I watch it, that occurred to me, where I was like, oh, that actually does make more sense to me.
Good job,
Miranda,
Mike.
Doesn't know. Yeah, she doesn't know this is fiction and doesn't know. And even she says, like, I didn't get to that part.
Well, I'm glad. I'm sorry. I said those silly things before.
And this is where Brady comes back after taking out the trash and used the neighbor's can too. And this wraps up pretty quickly of like, we're good, right? And yeah, we're good. And
Carrie's about to use the neighbor's can in a couple episodes,
right?
I think.
Wah, wah, wah. And, you know, wants to know if Brady knows anyone who wants a karaoke machine, but now Carrie wants it. And
Henry wants that machine.
Yeah. And I think the point is said of like, I'm going to use it for another party just to be like, okay. And that's her way of being like, there will be another party.
Okay. But Henry wants that.
He does. He's a kid who loves a ballad. And I like Carrie giving Miranda some flowers to take. And now we finally have Shu who's come out of her room.
Yeah, baby Shu.
And the woman held on to what she knew to be true. And the writer's room frames that to be that Carrie is holding on to knowing that Aiden is the right one. I don't know that I interpreted that way, but okay.
Something interesting that we didn't talk about too is Anthony saying, or maybe you did and I forgot, Anthony making that comment of, like, don't tell her I was married, and Carrie saying, don't tell her I was married.
I didn't write that, but I do think it's an interesting moment.
Because why don't we talk about Big
two,
at all?
Two different situations, right. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Weird. Maybe Big and Steve and Sanford are just like, F these guys.
Maybe. And she tells Shu everything is fine, and then a balloon pops. And not to be a genius, but I'm pretty sure that was done in post because Shu was not bothered by the noise at all. And I think a typical cat would have a reaction to a balloon popping.
Or she was like, I'm not gonna care because I just get locked away. Yeah. I couldn't help but wonder what drugs Miranda was on.
And I couldn't help but wonder how much Miranda read. I want to know if Miranda finished at that first page or if she read a couple pages. Mm. I wanted Miranda to say, I only read blank, and she didn't say, so it leaves it open. And I just curious, wondering how far Miranda got in that particular chapter. Also wondering if everything we've heard is in that chapter.
Yeah.
I'm guessing not, but curious.
If there's a part that's like, the woman had wondered what she had gotten herself into as she was in her neighbor author's house downstairs eating his mutton and his stew.
Both. And I will say that now that I was in the groove of like, I will every episode tell you what the next episode's called when Michael Patrick King tells me, he doesn't say it in this episode. So I don't know what the next episode is titled.
Something interesting that they did say was when they were talking about Diego, Michael Patrick King referred to him as her pansexual polyamorous. So I don't necessarily think, like, I know you and I were like, well, maybe they meant this when they said the term polysexual. I think they didn't know what word they were using.
I don't think so either. I think they're playing a little fast and loose with it, which is fine. I think for them, it's like, polypan.
Yeah.
I'd like to own a polypan.
Is that your new name?
It's my nickname, Mike Polypan Jensen.
Polypan is the sequel to Peter Pan.
All right. Well, whatever the title is, we'll be back next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation. You can listen to my other podcast, Mike and Vanya Can't Not, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link, or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. As always, take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other. I also didn't get this from Anthony's reading, but when you just now were like, with your fancy ears and your fancy gowns and your mischief, mischief, it was very Sweeney Todd.
Oh. Has the teacher become the student now?
Maybe.
No, I didn't. Oh, hold on. There's only one.
Oh, I didn't either.
There's only
one
restaurant.
You had one job to do, Elise.
No, hold on. I have it. There's only one restaurant in this episode. Hold, please. I know it's a Jean Georges restaurant.
Am I being weird?
You cut out, so it looks like you went, God, shut up. I was like, oh, you're
That's
spinning.
Okay.
Ooh, Mike is spinning. Yes. Ooh, alarms.
I know. Something's always alarming in my neighborhood. Oh, no, sorry. Charlotte going to Harry and saying, when the unthinkable happens.
No, Charlotte. Miranda.
Oh, it is. Sorry. Marlet going to. Marlet. I think it's actually Marlet.
Okay. Quickly find out there's no yoga lady yoga lady.
I did once have someone tell me that I smelled so good they wanted to lock me up so they could just smell me.
And that your butt smelled like roses, but we don't have
that. Also happened. That was a real thing. I might cut that out or put it in the end.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but wonder what drugs Samantha was on for this karaoke party.
Samantha? Is Samantha on drugs in London?
Oops. I couldn't help but wonder what drugs Miranda was on.